Maybe we might ask for Ms. Heckelman. Would you like to first just let us know what the amendment has changed to, please? Okay. Yep, I was just wanting to find out what the amendment was and then ask for a mover and a seconder. Yep, but first let's just find out what the amendment is. Okay. All right, Councillor Antoli, would you like to let us know what the amendment is, please?
Firstly, thank you to council staff for... I don't believe it's a waste of time. It's 15 minutes well spent that could actually add great value to the community. So this is going to be an additional clause with the wording as follows, but it has been handed to council. Amend the qualification under Use Table 12.2 in Attachment 1, Draft Amendment PSA 2025-1 of the use class. Quote, general retail and hire to be only if for a local or a general retail and hire use associated with a medical centre where on land 124 Channel Highway, Taroona, and then the reference. And that's up on the screen. I'm happy for council officers to speak to it in terms of adding any clarity that's needed.
Okay, before we go on, do we have a seconder for the amendment? Someone to second it? Councillor Cordova as the seconder. Okay, who would like to make a contribution or did you want to ask a question?
I'd like to make a contribution first of all.
Okay.
Okay, so we have later on in the agenda a request to potentially allow a medical facility here with two businesses on site, a GP and a pathology service. Wonderful. Down the line, if one of those businesses pulls out, you can't put a chemist in without this change. We've had that already established by council officers. The original request from the developer, who I've never met and have had no contact with from him, her or their associates whatsoever, so I'm doing this purely as what would I love to see in the local community if I lived there? Down the line, if one of those businesses pulls out, they can put in a... if the TPC allows this change, because it has to go through them, they can put in a chemist. Currently, they can't. So that's all that this is, and I would really love to see my colleagues support that because it will be of a material benefit to the local community, many of which are aged, and there are a number of old retirement, if I can put that, buildings or homes nearby, and it would be a great blessing for them to be able to walk to the local chemist, perhaps, rather than going the six-minute drive down the road to Lower Sandy Bay, and they may not have their own vehicle to do so. And that is the whole logic of this interesting exercise we've gone through.
Okay. Thank you. Further contributions? Councillor Fox.
I guess I'm concerned about the fact that there is an area of land within walking distance of this particular site, which is, I understand, zoned for retail, and the potential of having a chemist there might actually be generated by having a doctor here. And I feel that there are rules that state, I think, that you're only allowed to have a chemist within... You're not allowed to have a chemist within 1 kilometre of another chemist. And that would mean that the currently zoned area that would be appropriate for a chemist would never be able to have a chemist. And I'd like to have some guidance from staff that I understand correctly.
Okay, so is your question... do you want to rephrase your question?
I want to rephrase the question that if we allow a chemist to be built here, does that preclude a chemist being built in a nearby commercial area?
Thank you. Ms. Heckelman.
In terms of a response, I'm not exactly sure in terms of the distance for chemists. I understand there are, outside of the planning framework, regulations around the proximity of chemists to one another. Any, I guess, application for a chemist would need to be considered from a planning perspective by council as a discretionary use. So I guess providing for that use on the site is not an automatic generation or an automatic approval of that use. You would still need to satisfy the planning scheme and I guess meet the other requirements of the scheme that would be in effect at the time to be able to provide that use on that site. It is possible, however, that the distance that the existing local business zone is in may, if it's within that kilometre radius and that is the cutoff, then that may preclude that use potentially, yes.
Councillor Fox.
Down. Sorry. It's only about five doors down. It's where there used to be a grocery store and there's been a vet and all sorts of shops there in the past, but at the moment it's underutilised, and this might actually, this decision we're making tonight might disadvantage that current commercial zone. That's what I'm concerned about. Thank you.
Thank you. Further contributions? Councillor Cordova.
I'll just briefly speak to this, Deputy Mayor, to say that, and I'm rapidly, you know, racing through the pharmacy location rules from the Australian Government Department of Health and Aged Care. I don't have time on the fly to do that, but what I will say is, on balance, I think that we actually don't know if a proponent wants a chemist here or not. So even though it's a kind of nice to have, I don't think we can look at our crystal ball and say whether or not one would be there. Nor can we say the same for a potential application for a chemist at the existing area which is zoned appropriately. So on the basis of that, I think it's no bad thing one way or the other. My main concern is that we're... I haven't yet heard from staff whether or not there are any risks associated with this amendment. So I think my core concern is not... whether or not the chemist may or may not happen. I think you need a proponent to actually put forward an application for that specific use, and we haven't seen that. So all of that is a hypothetical, but what isn't a hypothetical is, will this amendment in any way create risk for council or risk for the proponent that we haven't yet discussed? Barring any unforeseen risks that... and so that is a question that I'd like answered, but if there are no risks, then I'm comfortable with this. So what are the risks?
Okay, Cumin.
So in the assessment that was put to council initially, we had taken the approach that the uses that were put forward, I guess, aligned with those uses that were anticipated in the low-density residential zone. There is in the application materials, and I guess part of the justification of limiting and qualifying the uses was that there was limited material put forward in terms of justifying additional non-residential uses, other than that the site has been used for non-residential uses before and it already has a building there that would be kind of well suited to things that aren't residential and might not be provided for currently under the existing zoning. So I guess the intention of keeping the qualifications in line with the proposed TPS uses was to, I guess, minimise risk for council in terms of the process that will go before the TPC and conversations around whether or not there's an undermining of an activity centre which is in close proximity to the use. Or to the site, sorry, not the use.
Thank you. So through you, Deputy Mayor, that's the core risk that we may inadvertently be undermining an activity centre that's already nearby, and that might have implications for the viability of that site. So by making this decision here in an area which is currently zoned low density residential and we're making this little tweak in order to allow a medical facility, we may inadvertently be undermining the actual site that's already kind of zoned for it. I think it is a tricky one. But on balance, I think I'm probably comfortable with it because it's a tricky one, isn't it? Look, at this stage, I'm interested to hear what other councillors will say about it, but I don't think the community will be particularly upset if a proposal... There is a difference between, I don't want to name particular brands, but you can imagine these big box store chemists, they look very different to what an unassuming medical facility will look like. If that's the case, that people are worried about traffic, noise, impact on neighbourhood amenity, intensification of use on that site. If people are concerned about that in the community, in the Taruna community, then they'll have the opportunity to write in during the public consultation phase, which will go for a minimum of 28 days. So I kind of feel like on the fly, I don't know whether or not it's a good idea to allow for a chemist to be there or not. But if the community feels like it's a really bad idea that they're happy to see a doctor's surgery but they're not happy to see a chemist, then they should make those feelings known during the public consultation period. So that's why I'm willing to let this go through now. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Just a question. Does this amendment have any impact on the next planning assessment that we're doing in relation to the medical facility, or... I guess if a chemist was to be proposed, that would be a fresh planning application with traffic impact assessment done for that, et cetera?
In terms of the process of considering the next item on the agenda, it can only be considered, I guess, if council decide to resolve to undertake this amendment. However, if there was anything that was in addition to or separate to what is currently proposed in that application, it would have to be part of a separate and brand new application that required assessment against the provisions of the scheme in effect at the time.
Councillor Bain.
And just another question around, do we know the approximate time frames of a process like this as opposed to if the applicant waited till the TAS planning scheme came in and potentially achieved something very similar?
I guess in terms of timeframes and where things are at with the LPS process, it would effectively just be giving maybe a head start in terms of getting it done a little bit quicker, but whether or not, I guess I don't have a crystal ball in terms of which process will end up being quicker, because it still will need to go through as a planning scheme amendment process through that formal hearing process with the TPC. So it will still have the potential to have hearings and directions and things that may kind of take that process a little bit longer than it is statutorily prescribed at the shortest time as well. So it's really potentially just bringing forward something that, with the exception of the amendment, will be provided for under the new scheme.
Councillor Bain.
And just finally, anything we put in place here will carry forward in the statewide planning scheme when that comes into place?
So in terms of the amendment, the proposed amendment, so I guess what was in the agenda, that would effectively almost be replaced by the TPS, so there would be no need for council to do anything further, I don't think, in terms of that. In terms of considering the additional modification from this evening, that would then be something that the council would need to kind of package up as a request to the state to ask for that site-specific qualification to be carried forward into the new scheme. And there's kind of an administrative process set up to do that.
Further contributions from anybody? Councillor Dean.
Just a question. If this amendment isn't approved and the proponent would like to, or anyone in the future would like to undertake a chemist or pharmacist at this site, just... what's the process, should they wish to do so, under the new scheme?
Ms. Heckelman.
Under the new scheme, it would be still, a retail use that wasn't a shop would be prohibited, so you would be unable to apply for it. There is capacity in the planning framework for someone to lodge a planning scheme amendment to provide for that use as a kind of a site-specific qualification, so it could end up being kind of a similar process to this with alternate uses proposed. And then an application potentially as well.
Councillor Dean.
Yeah, and just another question. If it's approved, the amendment, there'll be an exhibition period. Will the Commission come back with recommendations, not just on the representations, but provide their advice? Because we've heard about the local business zone being a few hundred metres away, whether they then support this or not.
Come in.
So as part of the process, the TPC will consider what is notified, so the amendment that goes on notification, as well as any representations that come in. But they will also, consider the legislative framework that is in place, and part of that, I guess, is the land use, the Southern Region Land Use Strategy, which does have, I guess, provisions in it around activity centres and an activity centre hierarchy. But I guess the use that we're talking about introducing is not adding a whole ability for a giant shopping centre to be outside of a local business area in terms of the zoning. It is, I think, what we're talking about now, quite a specific and tied modification to allow for a use that would only be acceptable where there was a medical centre. So it's not something that... I guess there is still a risk of a potential... conversation about the activity centre hierarchy and I guess the zoning of land and the intention of commercial and retail uses, but it's, I guess, in terms of risk, probably low.
Councillor Dean.
What I'm hearing is there's nothing really to be lost apart from it does feel a bit like we're making up the rules as we go in terms of just throwing in an extra what we might like, which makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, but there's if it was so grossly unacceptable... the TPC would provide advice and say, look, this is given where we sit in terms of the zoning and what will be coming up under the Tasmania Planning Scheme, we will receive advice back and we will have the ultimate decision at that point. Is that an accurate summation of...
Yes, that's correct.
Anything else further, Councillor Dean? No, Councillor Street.
Acting Mayor, I'll be brief. Look, I confess to being a little confused as to why we're amending this for a purpose that hasn't necessarily been requested by the applicant. But notwithstanding that, the amendment that's been put, I can certainly agree with, provided that the use is still associated with a medical centre. I think that's appropriate the way that that's been put. The only further thing that I would say about it, just some mild concern, to go with my mild confusion, about the fact that the argument for it is the potential use of a chemist, or potential use as a chemist later on down the track. I just want to make clear that we don't have any control over that. Anybody listening shouldn't get their hopes up that that's a thing that will happen or is likely to happen. That's a question for the owner of the land, and yes, I think Councillor Antoli's amendment makes it potentially easier for that to occur in the future, but that's all that's happening here, nothing more. And on that basis, I certainly will support the amendment.
Thank you. Any further contributions on the amendment? No. If not, we'll move just the amendment now. So it was moved by Councillor Antoli, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against. So the amendment has passed, so we're now back on the substantive. So further contributions or questions, please. Anyone? No. If not, I'll put the substantive motion, which is now... up there on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. All in favour?
Aye.
And against? Motion is carried. So we're now on page 29, item 12.2. We're considering DA-2025-164 S34A development application for change of use, vacant building to medical centre associated with planning scheme amendment PSA 2025-1 for site-specific qualification additional discretionary uses. There's a recommendation on page 40 and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please.
So moved.
Move Councillor Cordova, seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So, yeah, again, basically what's happening is that the council's being asked to formally change the planning scheme with this site-specific qualification to allow for different uses than were previously allowed in that area. So we're being asked to do that on the basis that, as you can see from the report, there's essentially a master plan, really. I forget the exact terminology, but they basically say this is all in one omnibus. They're asking for it's basically a background paper saying what the proposal is. It's a combined scheme amendment and permit application. And it includes all the design, all of the site maps there and also basically says why it's an appropriate and relevant site for a Taruna Medical Centre, for want of a better term. The proposal reuses the existing building and car park, mostly an internal makeover rather than a big new building, but it will, according to the proposal, allow for something like between 6 and 10 medical practitioners in the area. It mentions what the proposed hours and things like that might be. I think overall we can, just based on the conversation that we had on the previous item, we can the mood of the room is that it's a good thing to have medical facilities that are close to the community, and particularly in Taruna. So that's no bad thing. The implications that need to be considered are things around traffic and parking and noise and neighbourhood impacts, and all of those will be made clear by the public consultation period. So with that said, I think I commend the motion.
Thank you. Further contributions, Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I also commend the motion. It's ironic that this place started out as a place that promoted the healing of souls, but it's now moved on to the healing of bodies. So I look forward to seeing it do that, and I'm happy to vote for it in its entirety.
Thank you. Further contributions, Councillor Midgley, then Richardson, then Bain.
Thank you. I'd just like to note that it's a really thorough report with a lot of information, and particularly the traffic impact assessment as well. That was really, really, really thorough and a lot of detail, so just to thank you for that information.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, in the body of the report, it mentions that the application was for five, I think, practitioners. And two, I'm just trying to find it again, five practitioners, two administration staff and some cleaners. And then in the recommendations, we've put in there that they are to have no more than six.
Yes, so in terms of the scheme requirements for car parking, it's calculated based on health care providers or health services providers as opposed to doctors. So I guess that's accounting for one nurse and five medical practitioners on site.
Okay.
Councillor Richardson.
Sorry. So that kind of leads nicely into the next question is, and I assume it's a prescriptive thing, right? So there's 29 car parks, I think, plus two disabled spots, plus a motorbike and six bikes for five practitioners. That seems like a lot of car parking for what is essentially five people providing services at any one time. Can you just unpack a little bit why that is so high?
Ms. Heckelman.
So the parking is really reflective in terms of what is currently there is utilising the existing parking on site. The parking calculations that are considered in the planning scheme, I think, are a rate of five car parks per healthcare provider. So I guess that's the calculation that's set up and prescribed in the planning scheme. This application, I think, just sits one short of it, but I think in terms of looking at the traffic impact assessment and the information that's provided to consider vehicle movements, there is definitely capacity in the parking that's provided on the site and sufficient capacity for the use.
Councillor Richardson.
Sure. So I guess where my mind goes is there anything we could do, given there's a couple of extra consulting rooms by the look of it, and no doubt there's a shuffling of days between providers. Is there anything we can do to allow them to increase the number of healthcare providers with the existing, without having to increase the amount of car parking?
Through you, Acting Mayor, apologies, Kate. I've had to answer a similar question about a different clinic in our municipality. So that if the practice were to increase the number of health practitioners, that would be an intensification of use, and they would have to submit an application to us to do that. As part of that, they would be able to then submit a traffic impact assessment, which could potentially demonstrate that the parking is sufficient on site, using, you know, data from the existing operation to predict that. So there is capacity for the owner and the applicant to be able to do that in the future. They would then have to go through an application for intensification.
Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. That answers the question. I mean, I understand we're bound by the rules. I think it's a shame that we're limiting it to the number that we are limiting it to, and you know, I'm not a traffic management expert, but 29 for 5 seems high. But yeah, take your point that they can apply for a relaxation or whatever the technical term is later. So, thank you.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. My questions were actually along the same lines as Councillor Richardson. Because I feel we are limiting to 5 GPs and 1 nurse. Is that currently the case?
Ms. Shikuchi.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Yes, that's correct. So the assessment has been made on the application requested and materials requested. We wouldn't be preempting further expansion or looking at parking requirements for something that hasn't been applied for.
Councillor Bain.
In the assessment they did, or the information they provided, did they put forward a case that they thought they covered off the whole 7 rooms in their traffic impact assessment?
Ms. Heckelman.
The traffic impact assessment, I think, was based on the number of healthcare providers, because the parking calculations, I guess, are a little bit different to the use in itself. But there is, I think, some capacity for them to, in a traffic impact assessment, to consider the number of consulting rooms versus the number of employees. But I guess the base calculation that's set up in the planning scheme is based on the number of healthcare providers that are on site at the time in terms of meeting the acceptable solution for parking.
Councillor Bain.
So I guess in summary, the applicant's expectation is that they're only going to be able to have 6 medical professionals on there at any one time.
Ms. Heckelman.
Yes, which is consistent with, I guess, what they've applied for in the application materials.
Any further contributions? Councillor Fox.
Just a typo on the top line of the motion. That if the planning authority resolves that, the resolves to initiate the amendment needs to be corrected.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any further contributions or questions? No, if not, I would ask Councillor Cordova if you'd like to sum up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to you, Acting Mayor. Yes, I think it is actually a good thing, and so I'd just like to briefly reflect in my summary. What we're achieving here is we're opening the door, the pathway to begin for a Taruna medical development on a site that is currently vacant land. It's a vacant building. The building hasn't been used as a church for some years. So this is a really good outcome for the community. But also I just think I wanted to reflect on the conversation that we've had. It's very good, I think, that we're trying our best as a council to be permissive of or flexible around the use. But we also need to be careful about just assessing the proposals that are before us rather than, I mean, for all we know, yeah, maybe somebody one day wants a chemist or maybe somebody wants a merry-go-round, but they should actually apply for that and then we can assess it on its merits when it comes before us. So it's a similar story to the chemist and the parking. Yes, I hear the argument that maybe they should be allowed fewer parking spaces for how many medical practitioners they have. The reality is we just should wait for what the applicant actually requests and then make our judgments against what they're actually asking for rather than trying to throw everything in the kitchen sink in order to be flexible and permissible, as admirable as that is. Overall, I just want to finish by saying this is going to be a really good outcome for the community, and we're always short of medical professionals, and I think it's going to see good health and wellbeing outcomes. So I look forward to the next steps. Thank you.
Councillor Cordova. So I'll put the motion. It's printed up there on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, motion is carried unanimously. We're now on page 164. We're going to push ahead. 12.3, DA-2025-277, development application for AFL High Performance Training Centre at 10 Kingston View Drive and 7 Aralung Place and Gormley Drive, Kingston. There's a recommendation on page 188. I'm looking for a mover in Councillor Street and a seconder, please, in Councillor Dean. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. It gives me great pleasure to move this motion. It's always difficult when planning applications like this come before us not to reflect on the general merits of the application. And so I'll try to avoid doing that with this magnificently beneficial piece of development for the people of Kingborough and the people of Tasmania. It does, as the report sets out, comply with the terms of the planning scheme and the zoning within which it sits, and I think that the conditions that have been placed on the approval are appropriate in the circumstances. We did receive 8 representations in relation to the development application, all of which appropriately responded to in the report. Note some surprise that it was only 8 representations, given respectfully the controversial nature of some other development that's been conducted in relation to the Tasmanian Football Club. So I think that speaks to the way in which this development has landed in the municipality. I do have one query in relation to the representations, and that's in relation to the work that is or was proposed, and that's really my question, in relation to 7 Aralung Drive. Is it the case that there's no longer any development proposed on that private residential lot?
Ms. Heckelman.
Yes, that's correct. Through the process, it has been determined that there is actually no development required on that lot as part of this proposal.
And so in those circumstances, any question as to whether there was notification given to the owner prior to the application being lodged is really irrelevant because there's no work proposed on that lot any longer.
Yes,
Mr.
Gordon.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, that being the case, I'm prepared to commend the motion to my fellow councillors and for their hopeful approval.
Thank you. For my own contribution, I'm going to speak to the merits. This is a very exciting development for Kingborough, and I want to highlight just how much our community stands to gain from the AFL High Performance Centre. Economically, it will bring real benefits, more local jobs, a boost for our small businesses and stronger infrastructure investment as both government and private partners continue to support the precinct. Socially, it opens up opportunities that haven't existed before. Young Tasmanians will finally have a clear pathway to elite sport without leaving home. It will support healthier, more active lifestyles through community programs, and it will build a strong sense of pride as the Tasmanian Devils establish their home here in Kingborough. And in the long term, this development will attract families and workers, strengthening our region. It will put Kingborough firmly on the national sporting map, raising our profile and opening doors for future opportunities. For all these reasons, I strongly support this development. I also do not believe that the outcome of this week's stadium decision will halt the progress of the Devils. If the Upper House rejects the stadium proposal, the AFL, in my opinion, will need to reconsider its arrangements.
Sorry, I'm calling a point of order in relation to that you're going to have to rule on in relation to your own speaking. It's relevance to the motion before council. How is any of that in any way relevant to the motion before council?
I'm just speaking to the merits of the proposal.
It's a planning. It's a development application, Acting Mayor.
Right. Well, I will finish by saying that I commend the motion and I very much look forward to seeing this vision come to life for Kingborough and for Tasmania. Further contributions. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. A couple of questions. So I was pleased to see that the in relation to the Tas Water, the sewer issue with that property, that the Tas Water has since advised that it's no longer a requirement in this development. My first question is around traffic impact. So of the 8 representations, a number of them related to concern around traffic volumes, and particularly a very extensive and I think commendable in that it was so comprehensive, that the refutation of the traffic impact assessment, and it went something along the lines of how they actually expect that it's more like, I'll quote it directly, one of the extremely detailed representations lodged against this was that, and I'm going to quote from that representation, "I attest that the above assumption of only 55% to 91% capacity during peak parking demands is categorically incorrect. On any given Saturday during the winter months, the existing car parking situation is dire, with countless vehicles parked informally around the precinct on grassed areas adjacent to Twin Ovals Road and the shoulder of Gormley Drive, causing serious safety concerns. In such circumstances, car parking capacity is more likely at 120% of formalised car parking," end quote. So that's a quote from one of the representations, and it was a very detailed, I thought, a comprehensive quote, which I found quite compelling. Now, I do note that some of those concerns are addressed around peak periods in the officer's response. I just wanted to ask, is that quote that I just read a fair analysis of what's going on? In my personal experience, parking can be an issue there, and what comfort can be provided that this won't exacerbate an already existing issue with relation to parking?
Ms. Heckelman.
My understanding is that the traffic impact assessment, in terms of reconsidering the representation that was put forward, re-looked at the parking and concluded that it actually, in terms of the use that's proposed as a training facility, that the parking is sufficient for the use, noting that it's intended to capture the most frequent use, acknowledging that there will be kind of potentially short-term and ad hoc activities where there is greater parking demand, but that there are other avenues for council in being able to address kind of the parking for events and such on the site. And I guess left with the overall recommendation that the proposal provided sufficient parking for the use that's proposed.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Through you, Acting Mayor, I think it's still it's kind of an open question about the way I read it, including, I guess, the response to that criticism was essentially that, yes, at times where there's a lot of demand for parking, that it then becomes a question of traffic management and how do you deal with those peak periods, but one shouldn't try to have an oversupply of parking just for those, you know, rare occasions when there's overlapping events going on. So I think that for me is still an open issue of contention. But I wanted to move now to the idea of bicycle parking and motorcycle parking, which isn't provided for, and just try and understand why that's permissible in this case.
I understand that in terms of the initial application that there aren't any proposals for that. However, as part of the recommendations for this decision, it is considered that it is appropriate that a level of parking, both bicycle and motorcycle parking, be provided and has been provided for in the conditions of the approval, as well as end-of-trip facilities associated with the bicycle parking, so the provision of that as well.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So for me, that's a real win to condition the permit such that it's a requirement, particularly around bicycle and end-of-trip facilities. What we want to do, I think, and this is just a more general comment, is encourage active transport for the people that are working there and using it for recreation. So I think that's a win. My next question is around landslip, and this is something that I kind of had to do a double take on. On page 212, it says in the box talking about landslip. I'll just quote the end of that. It says, therefore, any newly identified landslide hazard areas outside the planning scheme maps are beyond the scope of assessment. So basically, the way that I read it is that we have to assess the landslip against the mapping that already exists, and any landslips that are newly discovered that don't appear on the draft mapping, we don't actually have to assess. My hope is that the geotechnical report, which I haven't read in full, contains some assessment of the new landslip that was discovered. That's my assumption, but I'm asking for clarification around landslip. Essentially, I assume that the geotechnical report identifies this new landslip, which is mentioned in the report, and therefore has some risk treatments associated with it. That's my assumption, but I just wanted assurance that that's the case.
Ms. Heckelman.
I'm just checking that provision.
Just further through you, Deputy Mayor, just while that's being checked, I guess I just want to expound on the issue just so people can follow along. Small areas of the subject land are located within a landslide hazard area, and it says in brackets low. So that's an assessment of low risk. So I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying as, you know, there's a big landslip there. But it goes on to say, a landslip hazard area low on the planning scheme. These areas are contained within the proposed balanced lot. It is acknowledged that landslide hazard data by Minerals Resources Tasmania shows more extensive areas of the site are subject to historic and active landslides. The geotechnical assessment by Geoenvironmental Solutions, dated 5th of June 2025, also confirms there is a newly identified active landslide hazard area on parts of the subject site, as well as an area of minor landslip on the fillbatters of Oval 2. However, under the clause of the landslide hazard code, that clause only applies to development for building and works, subdivision or use of land for a vulnerable or hazardous use on land within a landslide hazard area. Under clause 3.3.1, a landslide hazard area is defined by the planning scheme maps. Therefore, any newly identified landslide hazard areas outside the planning scheme maps are beyond the scope of assessment. Which basically means we don't have to consider it. And that's why I'm keen to know that somebody else will consider it to make sure that the batters of Oval 2 don't go somewhere that they shouldn't.
Ms. Heckelman.
In just rereading this, I understand that the geotechnical report has considered those layers. And I also understand that part of the area that's identified is outside, I guess, the development area of this proposal. But because the application involves a subdivision of a much larger lot to create, I guess, a title for the new oval and, I guess, a road area, that it is kind of part of the overall consideration of the application. But I guess in terms of next steps, there is, I guess, further detailed design that would still go back to council in terms of assessment as part of the detailed design process.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Would it be appropriate, therefore, to condition the permit such that any of the recommendations contained within the geotechnical report must be adhered to? Like, that's one example off the top of my head of if it says we don't have to consider any new landslip that's discovered, wouldn't it be useful to amend the permit condition to say whatever the recommendations are of the geotechnical report, they must be adhered to in order to be compliant with the permit?
There is, in terms of the attachment of that report to the approval, potentially capacity to reflect that report. However, I guess if it's something that is outside of what council can assess in terms of a head of power, applying a condition may be problematic.
Yeah. That answers all my questions, and I appreciate the clarification there. All in all, I'm looking forward to hearing the contribution from my colleagues, but I wanted to acknowledge the real concern that the representors had, but I do think that the fact that it was 8 rather than the you know, the hundreds that I expected, I think that is a bit of an indication that the silence here in relation to this does show that there's probably broad community support, notwithstanding all of the political controversy around this topic in general. The economic and social uplift that will be provided by the investment in Kingborough is significant and not to be understated. And I also think that the broad community support that we're receiving so far leaves me in the position that I think that this is an appropriate an appropriate contribution to the community. So I'll be voting in favour of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Dean, and then Councillor Antoli.
Thanks, Acting Mayor. Similar to my colleagues, I won't go on about the hydrogen benefits, but I will stick with the DA itself. A question just for me, which might not be completely common knowledge, is just around one of the conditions on page 189. It relates to like the hours of use of certain parts of the facility, and one which piqued my interest, which I hadn't heard a lot about, was the community use of a multi-purpose room and auditorium. The hours there obviously is set from 6 to 11, so just two questions. I can't see from the documents in front of us because it's obviously quite small in print, but just what those rooms might look like for community use, and were the hours just kind of replicable from what the Tigers and the Knights get to use for their, say, social events, etc.
Ms. Heckelman.
I'm not aware of, I guess, the memorandum of understanding in terms of how those are used or how they may be used. In terms of the hours that are proposed, those are the hours, I guess, that were included in the application, so that's reflected in the condition. And I guess are similar to other operating hours that are kind of associated with the intended use.
Councillor Dean.
Sure, just to clarify, though, that what does a multi-purpose room and auditorium actually look like in terms of this application?
There are, in terms of the proposal, some areas that are of the site and the development that are, I guess, available or would be available for, I imagine, people to be able to hire out or to utilise for community activities or the like in terms of club and social events. So it's not something that would need to be publicly accessible and would be up to the club to be able to, I guess, provide that as a function of the centre.
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Mayor, I'll just add it to at this stage, and it is outside the scope of the DA process around exactly how the community is going to use this. The predominant use of the site is going to be for the high performance sport, the training and administration centre utilisation. There may be some community use, and indeed the club, who will be the owner and tenant of this the space, have been very positive about what their community engagement looks like. So that flows through from all sorts of things like cafe space and merchandise store through to, you know, running their Academy of Sport and Leadership that they are operating. But I guess the level of community use is outside of this process, is through the DA that we're looking to issue tonight.
Councillor Ding.
Thank you. I wasn't really actually getting to just the aspect of what the facilities actually are. They've been referred to as potentially being available. I appreciate that the Devils own the facility. It's completely up to them how they lease that out. But I just honestly haven't seen the DA to know and was curious as to what those two rooms are. But I'll have to dig a little bit deeper myself another time. Just to sum up, obviously, I will obviously support this. In terms of the application, thank you for the... Thank you to the officers who have put together a really thorough report. But I guess it helps being a sports precinct, and putting something like this in a sports precinct obviously makes a lot of sense, a lot more sense than the previous site for the High Performance Centre, in my opinion. But also just noting what other councils have put forward in terms of the limited number of representations, I think is emblematic of this has community support, and I really look forward to it getting underway, and with all the associated infrastructure that comes with it, it's going to be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Further contributions, Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and I will take the advice of my colleague, Councillor Street, to make sure I don't make any statements that potentially may sound like I'm running for political office elsewhere. So my question is around the concept of spring
farm. Clarify on that, Councillor Tolley. You can speak to the merits of this proposal. The point of order was specifically to do with the stadium commentary, but you can certainly speak to the merits of this proposal.
I'll speak to the merits of it without wanting to sound political or making sure I'm connected to any people against the stadium, because I'm not. I have a question regarding the legitimate question around Spring Farm Road. Now, clearly, that was very well articulated, but can Council provide an update on how that relates? What are we doing as a Council, or what is happening with regards to the legitimate concern of Spring Farm Road and how it actually does impact, or it's the extension to Spring Farm Road does actually impact this site?
Mr. Stewart.
Thanks for the question. So the Spring Farm Road connection is outside the scope of this DA in front of you tonight, although it's referenced within the paperwork there to acknowledge the potential for its development in the future. As part of our agreements with the state government, it was always a separate package to that of the High Performance Centre itself that would be dealt with at a later stage. As part of the investigation that's been happening thus far around the broader precinct, some initial investigations around feasibility have been undertaken through that process, but at this stage it's too early to say the finer detail or at what point we will have a funding methodology put in place. But I again note that it's outside of the scope of this DA in front of you tonight.
Councillor Antoli.
So you're acknowledging that it is a concern of the community. It's not the scope of this developer to solve that problem, but Council is working on trying to solve that problem, is what you're trying to say?
Mr. Stewart.
That's correct.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. Look, I look forward to supporting this. It's transformative. All the superlatives could possibly be added, but it meets the planning scheme. I want to thank the Council's consultant and the council officers and the staff who've put together very thorough, and we have to be thorough for something of this significance. This is a generational improvement, and it goes so beautifully with all their neighbours next door, the Jack Jumpers, who are performing admirably, and I look forward to the Devils performing admirably too. Thank you.
Further contributions, Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'll just echo what a lot of the previous speakers have already said, so just a couple of questions. In relation to the parking, in terms of the use of the parking, is that part of the DA, or is that a separate agreement as to if the public gets access to it or if it's specifically for this facility?
Ms. Heckelman.
The planning approval is providing the 150 car parks, I guess, to be associated with this use. I guess it's up to... there is definitely, in terms of the consideration, the traffic impact assessment, consideration about where overflow parking may kind of be located. But that 150 car parks, I guess, are associated with the use that's been proposed here in consideration with the broader precinct.
Thank you. And the 150 car parks are the two new car parks, and the existing car park is outside of that, is that correct?
Ms. Heckelman.
Yes, I believe so, in terms of the numbers, yeah.
So essentially the existing car park, for what it's worth, will still be associated predominantly with the cricket oval.
Ms. Heckelman.
Yes, I believe so.
Further contributions, Councillor Bain.
Yes, and just a question about stormwater. I'm not sure if it's a planning or an engineering type question, but I guess the detailed designs will come as the next step, but we know there's a fair few issues that come from the sporting precinct which flow down to like Gormley Drive and parts of Spring Farm. So would this be treated like on a precinct basis between this and the new oval development, etc., or is it sort of, are they going to be treated in isolation, is my question?
Mr. Mackey.
Yeah, thank you. Good question. Yes, there's a broader precinct stormwater strategy and plan that encompasses the whole precinct works, and that's that's being developed by our consulting engineers, but that includes the whole of scope, so Oval 3, Oval 4, the new T&A facility, Gormley Road, the soccer fields, and it starts to pick up some of the existing issues around O'Connor Drive and the top of Spring Farm Road as well, so it's a full sink, full precinct stormwater plan.
Further contributions, Councillor Bain?
Thank you. Only to say I'm fully supportive, and as previous speakers have said, I think the fact that there's only been 8 representations and pretty much all of those have been explained, I think it's a great result and the community is going to be very appreciative.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Well, I'm fully supportive of the proposal. I'm just looking at page 190 where it refers to 64 trees being removed, and I was wondering whether they're these trees have any endangered species or threatened species or whatever qualities that might trigger an offset, and has an offset being considered?
Who wants to answer this one? Miss Heckelman.
Thank you for the question. I understand that in terms of the environmental assessment that was provided with the application, that those 64 trees were identified as a mix of native vegetation, but not ones that would necessitate the taking of an offset in terms of their removal. But there is, I think, a tree management plan that's proposed to be put in place to ensure that trees which were identified as significant in the report are preserved and kind of retained and protected as part of the development process.
Councillor Fox.
And will there be any trees planted to replace the trees that have been lost?
Ms Eckelman.
I am not aware of that. I'm sorry.
Councillor Fox.
Well, I guess I find that a bit disappointing because there's a large area of land that council owns around this property, and the trees provide shade and protection from the weather and the wind, and also habitat for native birds. Perhaps it's something that council could consider, or whether we could retrospectively ask that maybe there's some contribution towards planting.
Ms Eckelman.
There is a landscaping plan that does kind of sit with the application, so it is something in terms of coming back to council that will be required, I guess, to be looked at. In terms of the actual provision, I think it is in kind of accordance with the landscaping materials that were provided with the application.
Councillor Fox.
Well, that's my only concern. Other than that, I think this has been a huge project for and a huge opportunity for this council, and I really congratulate the staff on the way they've handled it and managed the situation. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Further contributions from anyone? No. Councillor Street, would you like to sum up? No. In that case, I'll put the motion. It's up there on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Dean. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, motion is carried unanimously. That brings us to the end of the Planning Authority, which adjourns now, and the open session recommences at 7:35 p.m. I think we'll call a short adjournment, just a comfort break for 5-10 minutes, and we'll come back at about 1:45. Thank you.